Hi, this is Ned Ryan, President of American Majority. Last week I talked about putting together a good campaign organization, and I want to continue with that topic today. The third point I want to talk about in building a successful campaign structure is including grassroots in your organization. As I explained in an earlier podcast, in order to win a race, you need to focus your general election campaign on those people who are not firm as to their party conviction, or if from the opposite party are issue voters who may be persuaded to forego party loyalty because of your support of a certain position. Of course, in your zeal to motivate the issue-dependent voters, you cannot at the same time alienate your party's true believers. A winning campaign organization must reflect this dynamic. The issue-focused voters you need to persuade are often referred to in Washington as the grassroots voters. According to William Safire in Safire's New Political Dictionary, the grassroots refers to the ultimate source of power, usually patronized, occasionally feared, voters not normally politically active. The word has become an adjective meaning of or among ordinary citizens. Most candidates now claim to run grassroots campaigns, where they get out to meet the people, just the opposite of a front porch campaign. Now, Safire's definition certainly fits the usual model for campaigns. Raise money, and then use the media to blast out your message, as well as your opponent, for as long as you can. Get your views to the people who care, the grassroots. These grassroots are perceived in Washington as some bizarre entity, existing on its own, waiting to be awakened to love or to hate you. Whole organizations exist to feed and feed off various aspects of the grassroots. Now, the grassroots are greatly feared by politicians and perhaps greatly misunderstood, at least as it pertains to congressional campaigns. Now, the common misunderstanding is that the grassroots react to your message and then in turn will come out to vote for you. Hence, merely reaching the grassroots is the goal. The basic campaign structure is to hire experts to help you raise money so that you can hire experts who can tell you how to reach the grassroots, and then experts to implement the plan, and even more experts to tell you how your experts are doing. If you can write a good commercial script or hold the right press conference, your campaign will secure the blessings of the grassroots and, more importantly, their votes. However, a better understanding of the dynamics of the grassroots and the starting point in building your campaign organization is to see the grassroots not as something you are trying to reach through your campaign, but rather as something to be incorporated into the very structure of your campaign. Instead of trying to obtain the vote of the grassroots, you want to be in the position of having the grassroots working to win votes for you. Instead of your campaign sending a message to the grassroots, the idea needs to be having the grassroots actually be structured into your campaign. You want to transfer the grassroots allegiance from a cause to an allegiance to your campaign. You want the grassroots to feel as if they have something at stake in your candidacy. You want them to work for you in some capacity so that they have some real personal involvement and investment that will entice them to tell their friends and neighbors that they should vote for you. The easy way to do this would be, of course, to enlist the direct help of the organizations which exist to serve the grassroots. Why not simply have the National Right to Life Committee or the National Rifle Association or some other organization simply become part of your campaign? The short answer is that the tax-exempt status of the groups catering to the grassroots does not allow for this kind of direct electioneering, which would be the most helpful. You can't sign up the groups who agree with you and tell them what to do if you get elected. The groups know this and will avoid you like the plague if you start looking to them for direct help in your campaign. The longer answer is that asking an organization for help actually puts that organization in the position of assessing your candidacy. Most organizations shy away from this in that this is not their focus. They tend to be issue-oriented, not people-oriented. Their issues were there before your campaign, and they're going to be there after your campaign. Most organizations simply do not structure themselves in ways that would really be of assistance to a particular candidate. Now, many politicians, knowing the political limitations of the organizations representing the grassroots, consider their grassroots work to consist of answering scorecards, appearing at neutral candidate forums, and calling on the leadership of these groups. These are certainly good things to do, but rather than the sum total, they are usually just the bare beginnings. To structure a campaign organization which incorporates the power of the grassroots without actually utilizing the grassroots formal organization requires a lot of groundwork. As mentioned above, your campaign pyramid needs to incorporate at the county or similar level a coordinator that represents the particular issue-based grassroots you are hoping to inspire to vote for you. Let me give you an example of what we're talking about. Let's consider the pro-gun crowd, or to put it more accurately, the pro-Second Amendment Americans. These voters will often negate party allegiance on the basis of a candidate's stance on the Second Amendment. To translate their support into votes, it is helpful to find people who are members of this grassroots community. Perhaps someone who organizes sporting shoots or runs a well-respected gun store. These people know who the pro-gun people are and what makes them tick. They can help you reach these people at their shows, events, or just in general. With the help of a good coordinator on Second Amendment issues in a county, you can not only pick up some votes that you need, but you may well find that you have a pool of canvassers or phone callers at your disposal. The fourth point to think about in building a campaign structure is paid campaign staff. One of the most crucial aspects to your campaign will be who you hire to be your paid campaign staff. You need a campaign manager, a scheduler slash volunteer coordinator, a press person, and a fundraiser. The trick is finding people you trust who know what they're actually doing. Sometimes the combination is a little hard to find, but it is vital that you find a trustworthy person to be your campaign manager and that he or she knows what he or she is doing. More campaigns have been sunk by having a campaign manager who does not know what he or she is doing. The press secretary is another vital position on a campaign. You need to find someone that, if at all possible, has previously worked with the media before. Now, of course, I'm talking about higher level races for a press secretary. Some of the lower level races like school board or city council, of course, will probably not need a press secretary. But how you and your campaign interact with the media is very important. If you're running for a higher office, state senate or Congress, you're going to have to think about who is going to be your pollster and maybe even your consultant as well. Now, there's a final note on campaign staff. Many neophyte candidates hire too many staff. That is a real problem. Because money will likely be a high commodity when you run for office the first time, the last thing you want to do is see it all burned up by hiring too many staffers. And you can be sure that if you hire too many staffers, your money will disappear very quickly. So what do you want to do to make sure that you have enough people working the campaign? Many times there are dozens of good people willing to volunteer. Find some competent volunteers and assign them responsibilities. The yard sign coordinator, the walk list coordinator, give them jobs. And almost as importantly, give the volunteers titles. Everyone likes titles, and quite frankly, they're free. I've even known campaigns to give every regular volunteer campaign business cards. The bottom line, do not pay for positions that can easily be filled by good volunteers. The fifth and last point that I want to talk about is cooperate with the local party without co-opting it. You will need to have a good working relationship with the local party for many reasons. Sometimes the local party officials may not agree with you on some of the important social issues. This may prevent you from wanting to be of help to you. At the same time, some moderates within the party do grasp the bigger picture and are willing to help more conservative candidates. With that said, if a local moderate official is willing to help you, focus on what you have in common with him or her and work towards winning the general election. Remember, as in the rest of life, relationships and how they are dealt with will either cause a campaign to go well or to sink. It's also important to understand that many of your more valuable volunteers will likely have been helping the local party for years. If you are friends with the local party officials, odds are they will be of help to you with helping find some good volunteers and being of assistance in other ways. This, of course, is not a comprehensive list on what parts you need to have to put together a good campaign, but it's definitely a start.